One more quiz question for you. This one, if you get right, you get to sit the next 50 minutes. Otherwise, you're standing for the sermon. You ready for it? You nailed the first one out of the ballpark, but I dismissed, I think it was the Highlanders or the Abels, the Wigglies there, and so they're not here to help you for this one. We sang beautiful words, wonderful words. What are those words that we're referring to that are beautiful and wonderful? Any answer? Gospel, it's connected to that. The Bible, the book. That's connected with truth, that's connected to our sign. I'll give you some slack. Half of you can be seated, the other half of you got to stay in there. You may be seated. As you're being seated, if you want to take out the Bible or Pew Bible and open up John 17, we'll be there in just a moment. Next week is Banner Raising Week. If you haven't been around here long there, we raise more banners annually around here than the University of Georgia football team does. And if that's too soon, Ohio State fans, don't worry. The team up north is in the same boat, okay? But I'm referring to banners that we raise that have nothing to do with games, but everything to do with godly pursuits. It's how to win in our walk with God and what we're asking God to form in us and grow in us as a church family together. And so as you see these banners displayed in the church, this has been the last 10 years together of ways that we've asked God to form and shape us as a church family and to continue to do so. We never want to put these banners away. Don't get me wrong, we put them away after the month of January, but we never want them to put them away in our walk with Him. We need to continue to grow and to remember these things that we're asking God to cultivate in us, because it's not a game we're playing. It's a godly pursuit that we're after in this place and space. And so next week, we will hoist a new banner with a new word. Don't try to get it out of me in advance. There's only a select number, and I will protect their identity that know about it for other reasons. We had our year-long Bible study party yesterday, and they were trying to get it out of me early. I will not crack. But if you come next Sunday, we will uncover this new banner and our new pursuit that we're asking God to form and shape in us. Before we raise that banner, though, we want to take one last look at the 2022 word of the year and look back. Sometimes it's helpful to take a moment back and to remember some things that we were after in all of that. And so I will just remind you, church family, that Christians believe in truth. Not your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. No, truth with a capital T. Truth that is universal, truth that is timeless, truth that has a bearing on you and me as much as it did on our forefathers before us. That there is a truth because truth is rooted in a being who is true. And so Christians believe in truth. And in 2022, we wanted to focus in on truth. Why in 2022? Because we live in a day and age where data can be doctored, right? There's a stat out there for everything. Photos can be photoshopped. Misinformation is a label that's lauded from politicians to preachers to social media posts on all gamuts and all sides there. And so how do you discover truth in the year 2022 that leads you closer to God and not further from Him or misapplied from Him in that way? That was our quest, and it's a hard quest in the day, in the age that we live in. But we set about to do it in four main ways that we constantly just wanted to put truth in the forefront of our minds. Never doing it perfectly, but persistently trying to put truth in the forefront of our minds. And so this is how we tried to practice truth in 2022. First of all, we raised a banner. The banners are always visual reminders for us, but the banners take place in different locations at the church based on the word of the year at times. Do you remember where this banner was for much of the year? Right behind the B-I-B-L-E, right? A unique location for it because you got to look through the book to see truth. And so that visual reminder where the banner was set was with that in mind. And sermon series tried to dance around truth too. Literally, at times we danced around it, right? Broadway series where we were taking popular truths on Broadway musicals and applying them to biblical truth. And so we danced around truth in some summer sermon series, but in the spring, we intentionally set out to uncover, what is the Bible? Why do we hold this to be a sacred book? Not just a good book, but the God book. And what's different about the Bible than the Quran or the Book of Mormon or other sacred texts? Is there something different? Or is this just one viewpoint of a Western world in this kind of outlet? We covered some of those questions in great length in the springtime. And then in the fall, we covered a sermon series that was all of your favorites, right? Book of Judges. Uplifting, inspirational. We loved every moment of it. And if you weren't with us in the fall, that's sarcasm, okay? It was a very hard book in the Bible. But the common refrain in the book of Judges is that there was no king. Everyone did as they saw fit in their own eyes. It's the biblical example of what takes place when we shelf the truth and just do it our way, what we want to do in our own eyes. And it shows a spiral of society that was not fun for those living in it and not fun learning about it there, but warning about what happens when we don't take truth seriously and try to make our own truths. And so the sermon series danced around this topic of truth in 2022 together. We also had public readings. Many of you took part in it. As we unveiled the word of the year in the Gospel of John, we noted that John mentions truth more than any other book in the Bible, pound for pound. It's 25 times in just 21 chapters of the Gospel of John. Now, and that's just our root word, truth. If you count the words true or truly in it, it's over 50 times in that Gospel of John. And so we simply just read the Gospel of John, word by word, phrase by phrase, for the whole month of 2022, together as a part of our Sunday worship services. We had a select number, almost 40, that took part in a cover-to-cover challenge of the Bible, and we celebrated that just yesterday. We had our celebratory party, and I've mentioned there in the first service, I will repeat, that was just a sweet day yesterday. And I hope I'm not making that up in any which way. I just walked away from yesterday morning just realizing that it just seemed like a holy moment in some way that was fun and formative as we remember that together. And I hope those of you that took part in it could express it. This is an action photo. This is some of those minds learning. This is the back of their heads, just enthralled in some lessons. This is a prettier photo of them simply posing as a part of our celebration yesterday amidst donuts and conversations and testimonies shared of the journey that we've been through. One of the ways that we were just trying to practice truth through this word that reveals truth. And one of the ways is waiting the unveiling today. We had been waiting for about half a year for our pew Bibles to get from back order to in our presence, and they came in about 2 weeks before Christmas. We didn't unveil it 2 weeks before Christmas, and glad we didn't, as pipes are busting, and who knows what could have gone down there. But today, as we remind ourselves of truth in 2022, we are going to unveil the pew Bibles in the pews. If you're sitting in this section, it should already be done for you. The first service did it. But this section, it's your chance, okay? If you're sitting near those pillars, there should be a box. And if you're able-bodied in that, if you can distribute those, we need to take those pew Bibles out of the sleeves and to pass those pew Bibles just stacked on the corner and put those new pew Bibles in replacing those old pew Bibles. You guys hang tight. Don't worry, I got some information for us on what we're doing in this unveiling moment. But take those Bibles out of the sleeves, if you would. Put them in the pews. And here's a reminder for everyone, or an announcement rather for everyone. If you would like to take one of these home with you, please do. There's been a variety of people that have teched in a variety of locations, including churches that have burned down, and simply asked them, could you use 120 pew Bibles? And each one is saying, no, not quite interested. And so if you want one of these as a keepsake, a reminder there, by all means, you can take this home. It is good to have different translations of the Bible at home with you. And so if you do not have an RSV, by all means, take this home and have it for a reference there. If you know of someone else that could use this Bible, by all means, take them home with them. If not, we're going to try to find a good space and location for them. But right now, they're just not yielding good results. So this could be yours. Anyone, take as many as you want as the conclusion of this service. Why are we getting new pew Bibles? Is it just because we put up a new banner? Not quite. As we shared yesterday in our year-long Bible study, truth is timeless, but language changes. And so there's a section of those pew Bibles predominantly, especially the Psalms or the prophets, it uses a lot of these and thous. Do you guys use these and thous in your popular language today? Like only Shakespeare uses the these and the thous still, right? And so it's a struggle to understand the timeless truth because we're not getting to the timeless truth. We're struggling with the language behind it. The truths are timeless, but language changes. And so that's the job of a translator, to help show those timeless truths in today's language so that we can better understand it. And that's what we believe the NIV is going to help us do. It should shorten 50-minute sermons to 49 minutes when we don't have to unpack the these and the thous and those kinds of a section. So it's for all of our benefit that we are doing this. As we do the unveil, Dottie, are you back there? You can stay there, Dottie, as long as you dance, okay? We are going to capstone this unveil moment. Pew Bibles are in place. This side's checked. This side's checked. Stand for our culmination song with cool dance moves, without wigglies in our presence, so it's just adults making fools of yourself. It is the song, the B-I-B-L-E, Refresher. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. It's going to be our unveil song. We're going to love it. You ready for this? Let's do this, group. Don't hold anything back. Act like it's 2022. Here we go. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. You can do it faster. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Fastest. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Good. You put in your workout. Sit down. Sit down. This is no coffee. This is all natural. Open up that B-I-B-L-E to John 17, 17. And let's let this be the first verse that we read together out of this book to capstone our word of the year. And then we're going to have some comments on truth as we look back to 2022 together. So John 17, you could be the very first one to shout out the page number to the new B-I-B-L-E if you're there. 1540. It's John 17, 17. You're half correct, Teresa, there. I didn't give you the verse one. John 17, 17, 1540. Let's read it together, our word of the year from 2022. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Let's read it again. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. One more time. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify is this process of being made holy, being more godly as a result of our connection to God. This truth is to help us in our godly pursuits. Sanctify them in your truth. Now, how do we discover that truth? Your word is truth. There's a connection between the words of God and discovering the truth. As I will remind you, Christians believe in a timeless truth, a universal truth that's applicable for all in every era and in every need of it, that God is supplying it. We believe in truth. And yet in the year 2022, that's a struggle because we live in a day where there's a stat for everything. Data can always be doctored. Photos can be Photoshopped. Misinformation. So how do we discover the truth? We got to anchor in to your word is truth. And so let me just highlight this struggle as I did for you this past January together. These are some Hollywood lines about how we culturally disseminate truth or how we may view truth, that in times are at odds with how a Christian parcels truth and at times aren't aligned with how a Christian parcels truth. This in no way, okay, is an endorsement to these movies. So don't hear this. I think they're just interesting quotes about how to grapple with truth or how we grapple with truth in this day and age that we live in. So hear these quotes. The movie Memento has this quote on truth. You don't want the truth, you make up your own truth. You don't want the truth, you make up your own truth. Is that a popular line? You have your truth, I have my truth, and let's just live by our truths. That's a common storyline that I think this movie brings about. Tony Montana in the movie Scarface, he says this, I always tell the truth, even when I lie. That's interesting, huh? What is truth in those arrangements? How about this movie, Tell Me Sweet Little Lies? It's going to be a good one on truth, right? Here's the truth about the truth. It hurts, so we lie. Isn't that a little stinging at times? Sometimes the truth hits a little too close to home. And so instead of dealing with it, we would either lie about it or replace it with my truth, and that can be a truth that we discard. The truth about the truth, it hurts, so we lie. We venture with that with Elsa, right? We brought this up a number of times. That great theologian, Elsa from Arendelle, movie Frozen, Disney, iconic line, let it go. Key song, key moment. The palace, the ice palace is being unveiled. The new dress lets down her hair. She's belting out, let it go. I sang it for you all in 2022. Sorry. The line that is telling for as it relates to truth is that Elsa says, no right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free. And we explored that a little, right? No right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free. Elsa, where did that freedom land you? You shot your sister, the one that genuinely cared for you, with your ice crystal fractures that seriously, mortally injured her. You find yourself a couple scenes later in a cold, dark dungeon, frozen with this series of a storm that's both swirling inside and swirling in your kingdom. So it's affected you and it's affected others closest to you. Is no right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free, really the right endgame that you wanted to live? It wasn't until that saving sacrifice of a sister who put her life on the line to save Elsa's line where the curse was reversed, right? Where the storm led way to the sunshine, and it was all because of a saving sacrifice and one that really cared. Christian, I reminded you, no right, no wrong, no rules for me. Living according to your own truth, it doesn't end well. Cold, dark dungeons, hurting those of yourself and those around you. But there is one that cared enough about you to enter that story, put his life on the line to reverse the curse, both in you and in the world. His name's Jesus. He's the Savior that came to reverse that curse. And lucky for Elsa that she had a Savior, as the world has of Jesus, who put his life on the line for all. This is what we wanted to remind ourselves of the storyline and what we're invited into in the year 2022 together. Got one last line, and then I'm going to share some good quotes from Hollywood on this. But this is perhaps the most famous truth quote from Hollywood. Ready for it? Few good men.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's even better in Loop. Watch this.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Just doesn't get old, right? I mean... And it's telling. I want the truth. There's a quest in us that desires truth. But can we handle it? And what happens when the truth is told to our face? Do we reject it? Do we run from it? Or do we do the hard work of digging into it? That's a telling quote from Hollywood. I shared with you some Hollywood quotes that aren't the Christian conviction on truth. Let me share with you some from Hollywood that are more in alignment with what a Christian believes about truth. This one from 12 Years a Slave. The actor Brad Pitt says this, "Laws change. Universal truths are constant. What is true and right is true and right for all." There is this nature of changing laws in all of this, and yet truths, there's transcendent truths that are unchanging in all that. And that's what a Christian is to build their life upon. Laws change, but universal truths are constant. How about in Batman versus Superman, The Dawn of Justice? There's this line. You don't get to decide what the right thing is. That's where a Christian comes down on truth. That there is a truth, and we're not the ones ultimately that decide what is truth and what is not truth. We didn't make this world, including our own existence. And so that's not our right to privy. But there is one who made us and all things around us. And it's his claim and his final call that is the call that really matters. And so we don't get to decide what the right thing is that's been decided. We get to decide how we respond to what is right or what is wrong. That's where a Christian comes down on truth. And so as we look back in 2022 together, let me just highlight some things of truth that are in alignment with those truths that are universal and timeless and have our best interest in mind ultimately. And so the first of those points that we uncovered last January that I'll remind you of this January is that truth is connected to a person. Christians believe not truth just as a concept, but truth that is a relationship with a being that is true himself.
In the Gospel of John, John begins his gospel by introducing us to a character that he says is filled with truth. He puts it this way. The Word became flesh. Who's he referring to? Jesus. The Word is John's way of referring to Jesus at the opening chapter. The Word became flesh. This is Jesus. And he dwelt among us, get this, full of grace and truth. I highlight that grace and truth. Because oftentimes we divide in the year 2022 to either a grace camp or a truth camp, right? That Jesus is all grace-filled. You can be whoever you want to be. God loves you. God forgives you. God will just encourage you in whatever you are. He's full of grace. There's a side to this. Jesus really is gracious. He really is better to us than we deserve him to be. But there's this truth side too. It's not grace or truth. It's grace and truth. That means sometimes God tells us the tough stuff. That means sometimes God says something that doesn't wrestle real well with us, and yet as we wrestle with it, with the being behind it, that we realize, hey, this might be my best interest in mind. That maybe my attitudes, maybe my actions, if I just change them with the wind there, it's not what's best for me. I need to deal with this thing that God is revealing about who I am and my essence and my nature. God is grace and truth, not one camp or the other. Somehow following Jesus leads to grace and truth. And so that's the hardest line to walk, and yet that's the line the church is called to walk. Truth tellers that are grace-filled, how do you do that? You can only do that when you keep asking Jesus and trying to be obedient to what Jesus reveals in that. And so that's what John is inviting the reader to do in the opening chapter. Jesus came filled with grace and truth. We beheld his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father. Jesus' own words, would he affirm that title? He says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Like, Jesus is truth to the T. We don't have truth just in some book. We have truth in some being. Christians believe that there's a being who's true. And so responding or not responding to truth is really responding or not responding to a being, your maker, God who is truth. Is it just Jesus that's truth? Well, Christians believe in a triune Godhead. That's three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not just Jesus that's truth. Jesus points us to the Holy Spirit's work in our life, which is to point us in the way of truth. Jesus' own words yet again in John 15. When the counselor comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness to me. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples about who the Holy Spirit is and what he's coming to do in the life. And part of the way that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit is that he's the Spirit of truth. He comes to lead you closer to me, and in leading you closer to me, you're going to be navigating some truth lines in your life. Yet again, he says it this way in John 16 about the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What is part of the Holy Spirit's task at work in the life of a believer? It's to help us understand and to be guided in the truth. And so as we come to faith in Jesus, as we say it, Jesus downloads something in you. And something that which he downloads in you is his Holy Spirit's work to help you navigate the truth lines. That's why Christians talk about conviction at times. There are some things that are brought to our attention as we're following Jesus about where we're on step or off step. And we have decisions to make. Do I get back on the path or do I keep going my own way in this? Who's revealing that to us? The Holy Spirit's work at work in our life is a part of that. This is all heady stuff. I realize this. Can I get a little simpler and practical for a moment with you that I think is dancing around this concept of us believing that a being is truth? I don't know how you react when a stranger comes up off the street to you and starts telling you something you don't want to hear, but I don't always react favorably. Like if someone just comes up to the street that I don't know, just walking up and barks some orders my direction, chances are I'm going to want to keep them at arm's length. Who are you to tell me? What are you talking about, man? Huh? You just met me. But if my mother or my wife or a dear friend of mine that's labored the years with me, if they come up to me and tell me something I don't want to hear, I'm going to deal with their message to me a little bit differently than I will deal with a stranger off the street. Why? Because I know they care for me. And so if they're saying the tough stuff to me, I mean, they've weathered the years with me.
They've put up with the pain of me, right? And so when they tell me something that might pain me, I deal with it differently because I know the reference it's coming from is a reference of care, of love, someone who's weathered the years with me that I might not react with a stranger off the street. And I'm here to remind you, when God tells you something that might ruffle your feathers, he does it with those years behind, with pain on your behalf. He gave his all to save your all. He's withheld nothing. And so when he tells us something that challenges us, can it challenge us with warming us rather than that cold, stiff arm that sometimes we give to him? Let me apply it a little bit further with a real-life illustration, okay? Julie and I, one of the restaurants that we enjoy is Chipotle. How many of you guys love guacamole? I shared this story a year ago. I'll embarrass the nice ones again. But yes, guacamole, a couple hands went up. Julie and I were introduced first to guacamole that I can recall in that way. It was through Chipotle. Our college that we went to, if you wore like tinfoil on Halloween, if you went to Chipotle with tinfoil on Halloween, you got a free burrito. And so that's like a college kid's dream. And so we were all about that, introduced to Chipotle in that way. Regularly. And in that occasion, and many occasions since then, when we've gone to Chipotle, I go down the line of putting in my burrito order, and someone stands across the glass and says, "Do you want this on it?" It's green paste. No, I don't want green paste on this beautiful thing that you've just made before my eyes. Save it. I ain't going there with this green paste. Fast forward to about a year ago in small group. Intense debate erupts in our Wednesday night small group. Guacamole. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I mean, split the group there. The gloves were coming out. Intense, the things that we talk about sometimes in small group. The Nystroms were in that camp that said, guacamole is a good thing and everyone needs to try it. Fast forward a couple days, at our doorstep rings the door with a jar of Southwest guacamole from Aldi's. And the command that thou shalt try it. And so I come home from lunch one day, and Julie's telling me the story that the Nystroms had dropped off guacamole and that I had to try it. And so whatever, it's lunchtime, it's in the fridge. Start scooping the paste into the mouth, and I find out the paste is good. Very good. Over half the container was gone before I caught myself realizing they wanted us to try it, and it was just me trying it the entire time in that kind of way. And so come down on the verdict a little bit differently. Why did I try the green paste? Because I have a relationship with the Nystroms that I didn't have with someone just stranger staring across from me from the glass case saying, try the green paste. I've weathered the years. I've known them for about a decade now. They're in my small group. I genuinely like them. And so why would I not try the green paste with a relationship behind it in a way that I could stiff arm to someone that was just working for Chipotle pointing to the paste saying you want on it? And that's what a Christian's trying to say about truth. Truth can sound cold. Truth can sound calloused if you don't understand the relationship and the being behind what he's revealing. Yes, if we keep God at arm's length and we just think he's just some divine mandate in the sky hurling down commandments our direction, then yes, it's pretty easy to stiff arm him. If you realize he put his life on the line to save your life, if you realize he cares for you and created you, he knows how you're wired and what that wiring works best and what works worse than that. If he knows all things about you, like an all-knowing God really does know about you, then all of a sudden we should be stiff-arming a little bit less and holding him a little bit closer, huh? And dealing with what he says a little bit differently. Not as some cosmic killjoy, but as the creator of life who genuinely knows what's best for your life. That's the Christian claim on truth. That God is revealing that truth because he knows you, knows what you need, and knows the day that you live in. So take his word above your word. That's the Christian claim in these things, that truth is tied to a person. That makes it difficult, though, because the person's not always walking among us. Easy for the disciples, right? Jesus incarnate, he was laid in a manger, he walked 33 years of his life. They knew what God and the truth being right before their eyes, but what do we do in the year 2022? We can't know God apart from God revealing himself, and that's what makes this next point so important for us today, that God has revealed himself through his word. That's why we call it God's word. The Bible is the word of God, and it points us to the truth.
And repeatedly through that book, he's pointing us to that. Now take it a step back. Some of you want to push back on that claim. Like, what makes you think the Bible is a significant book? Because the Muslims have the Quran, and that's what they claim to be the Word of God. The Book of Mormon, the Mormons have the Book of Mormon. That's what they claim the Word. What makes the Bible so much more exclusive? We did deal with that. That very question back in April and May as we were outlining not only how to study the Bible, but some of the claims of the Bible. And as a matter of fact, those in the year-long Bible study, they were given 14 different points from my perspective after reading some of those other sacred scriptures and reading the Bible about why I keep coming back to the Bible and not those sacred texts. There is a reason. We don't just throw that claim out there just to throw it out there. But if you really want to hear the length of it, you just turned a 50-minute sermon into an hour and a half sermon there. And so I will just simply reference you. It is archived on the website, but that might be good for the refresher. There is something unique when a Christian claims the Bible is the Word of God about how the Bible is composed that's different than some of the other self-proclaimed sacred texts that are out there and claimed. And so I say that to reference you there and to remind you that our truth is revealed through a page. Our word of the year, that very passage that's been staring back at us, says, sanctify them in the truth. How do we find thy truth? Thy word is truth. God's word reveals the way of truth to us. Yet again, in that same gospel, Jesus is talking to people and he says to the Jews who believed in him, he said, if you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hear the claim of Jesus? Continue in my word, you're going to know the truth. There's a connection between truth and God's word. Say, maybe that's just a Gospel of John thing. No, that's a repeat storyline throughout all of the Bible thing. No, the very longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. It's like 6 pages in that new Pew Bible that you just put out there. Really long chapter. It's a long chapter that points about the value of God's word, and included in that chapter is references to truth in God's word. It says this, don't snatch your word of truth from me. Your word of truth, don't snatch it from my life, for your regulations are my only hope. Yet again in Psalm 119, the sum of thy word is truth. I think that's significant because you genuinely can make the Bible mean whatever you want it to mean, and that not to be the proper meaning for it. You really can do that for the Bible. Get a passage that speaks to you, that what you want to hear, and you just pluck that, and oh, this is my life. No, it's the sum of thy word that's truth. You got to understand the entirety of what it's getting at, this story unfolding before you from Genesis to Revelation. Not cherry picking, I like this one, don't like this one. No, the sum of thy word, the totality of it, that is where the truth is discovered. And every one of thy righteous ordinances endures forever. There's more that connects the word with truth. 2 Timothy 2, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. How do we show ourselves approved by God? By listening seriously to what he says and practicing it. Present yourself approved by God. The word of truth helps show that user manual in that direction. Keep going. Ephesians 1, in him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, have believed in him and were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. There we get it yet again. This Holy Spirit in the mix, God's word in the mix, all working about God's salvation in the midst of a believer. Once again, connecting truth, God's word, and God's working through the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. James 1, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits he created. There's a birthing a new life as we are connected through the word and the truth together. Those are not even all the references that put together word and truth together, but I think highlight that for a Christian, how do we discover truth? We discover it in a relationship with a being who is truth. We discover truth through his word and taking his word seriously. And we discover truth with this perspective in mind. Point number 3. Those are some points that went along with why we hold the Bible to be the sacred text it is. Like I said, just access April, May timeframe for that dialogue. Truth as perspective. Truth as perspective. I said a moment ago this quote from 12 Years a Slave, universal truths are constant. What is true and right is true and right for all. Christians believe in a timeless truth. Does that mean Christians don't say that or see that fads change at times? There are some issues that, are different in America than they're different elsewhere. Don't get me wrong by that. Fashion, clothing, do we wear togas? Is it bell bottoms? Is it poodle skirts? There are some things that change, but we're saying the deepest things, the innate things, the creator things that he's crafted us, those are the consistent and timeless things that are unchanging in this. And so how do we get to that unchanging perspective? John Wesley, who would be the founder of the Methodist Church, in one of his sermons quoted this, "But whatever doctrine is new must be wrong, for the old religion is the only true one, and no doctrine can be right unless it's the very same which was from the beginning." Have you ever heard that cliche, if it's new, it must not be true? It pairs with what Wesley's saying there. If it's new, it must not be true. And some of you are saying, prehistoric preacher, man, what are you talking about if new must not be true? Do you believe in lights, electricity? Is this a good thing? Don't hear me wrong. A Christian is not opposed to innovation and some progress in those forms, but even the invention of the light bulb calls us back to a God in the beginning who said, let there be light. God's not opposed to light. That's one of those timeless things that he crafted and created in this universe. And so we're grateful when inventors like Thomas Edison craft the light bulb. We're celebrating that. That's not new. Light was always there. God created light. We're taming light in some way. Same with healthcare. God's always been about the creating and flourishing of the human body. And so we celebrate advances in technology when it helps us in those kinds of conduits in that way. We're not opposed to those things. But there are some things that we're trying to change the game plan mid-game in 2022 that if we follow the history behind it and we follow the end result behind it, isn't leading in those same timeless universal truths of where God is leading. And that's where a Christian voices up concern in those ways. And so how do we have that perspective? Let me just offer up two different questions to keep on the back of our mind that I think can help us deal in the year 2023 about, is this something that's timeless in truth, or is this a current fad that is in this historic moment that we have to deal with? And so this is one of the questions I think we need to keep in the back of our mind. When data can be doctored, when misinformation is out there, when photos can be photoshopped, how do we help parcel that out? Well, we ask these questions of things. What's the history, that is the past, and what's the long haul, the future, say about this given perspective or thing that we're wrestling with? What's the past say about this, and what's the end result of this if we follow this? Where does that head? It is a discerning question to keep in the back of the mind. Second question, what glorifies God? Does God want this, or do I simply want this? That's a clarifying question that gets at the heart of truth. Jesus's passage, "Thy word is truth," comes in the context of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17 that's about the glory of God. He asks, does this glorify God? Does this glorify me? Or the both and in John 17 when he says, after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that he can give glory back to you. I brought you glory here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me glory in what was shared before the world began." And if you're reading all of John 17, he realizes that glory sometimes comes through suffering. Now, sometimes when I think we're asking the question of what is true or what is right, we're not asking through the lenses of suffering. We're asking through the lenses of what makes me happy in this immediate moment. Right? Sometimes when truth smashes us in the face, we want it to tell us the lie of what fulfills my appetite or my longing in the moment, because we're a human creature. All of us. You remember the temptation back in a land called Eden? Eve was given the truth. Adam was given the truth of the moment of what how they were to live their life. And it says in a conversation with another, she took her eye and she saw that which was in the forefront. And it pleased her. It appealed to her appetites. And she took and she ate. That's always been the temptation of humanity. To take our eye off the truth into what feels good or looks good or satisfies my immediate appetite. We live in the immediate moment sometimes, forgetting what God told us in the past and where this immediate moment, if lived into, is going to lead us in the future. That is the common pull of humanity ever since Eden. And the Christian calling card for truth is that there is a God who cares for you and loves you enough to redirect your eyes, as hard as it can be, back on that which is timeless and is forever for your benefit, not just for this immediate moment. Look to him, not to self. Can I close with these words? Ohio State fans, close the ears for a moment, okay? I started this way, I got to end this way, right? Came across a clip, a video, and an article there with some backstory behind it. In the wake of Ohio State missing the field goal at the end of last week's Georgia game. I didn't bring it up last week. That's why I got to bring it up twice this week, okay? Watch that game, pulling for the Buckeyes, like everyone else in the state of Ohio, except those odd people there. And we were pulling for them too, but realized the kick wasn't close. And that's not a disparaging mark on the kicker. Like, if I'm in that situation, that ball's not even hitting the 30-yard line, let alone the goal line in that way. And so there was a lot of pressure, and loved the post that he sent out and his family sent out in the wake of that there. Just a game. But in the midst of this, here's an article of a video of a fan that was in the arena. Kick, 50-yard field goal, game winner, goes off on this side of the end zone. This fan filming it on his cell phone from this side of the stadium, closest to this sideline, not that far sideline, but this sideline. And so from his angle, from his camera perspective, this kick looked like it went in and Ohio State won the game and they're going to the national championship. But the reality was none of that was true, right? From his perspective, from this video he captured, just the angle that he was sitting at and how his camera was laced, it looked like that kick went through. But there was an authority on the field that said, not even close, no good. I wonder if that's not a parable of our life sometimes. I wonder if that's not our argument to God sometimes. God, what do you mean? I'm looking through my little portal and it looks good to me. How can you tell me wrong? And yet the reality, the bigger perspective is that there is authority on the field and they do say what's right and wrong and they declared no good. It's Georgia playing tomorrow, not Ohio State. And how's the future hold? Is Ohio State playing tomorrow? No, that authority won, right? Not just that personal perspective won. Christian, I'm here to tell you as your pastor that there is an authority who makes the call. And it's not what you see through your little screen. There is a right and wrong, and you don't decide what it is. He holds those keys. He created all things. He can say all those things. And that's not a cold and callous comment. When you realize the things that he gave up to snatch you and to save you to an eternity with him, stop rejecting him. Stop just looking through your plastic portal and look up to him. There is grace. There is forgiveness, but it involves turning from self towards God. That's the truth statement that I pray has been ringing through our ears in 2022 and won't leave us in 2022. There's a God who genuinely is for you, and yes, he'll say some tough stuff to you. He's God. He's your creator. He's the maker of all life, and he genuinely knows how life is best made. Follow his design, not just what you see in your little moment. Follow his call and obey his ways. That's what truth is about. And I pray that's the truth that we heard from a God who genuinely cares for all of us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, your book really is filled with encouraging words, but sometimes your book is filled with abrasive words that rub us the wrong way, that we rather keep at arm's length, and that we rather just look at our own screen rather than the creator of the heavens and the earth. My prayer, Lord, is that you would do the work that only your spirit can do, and that is to help us sometimes put our screen down and to our eyes up, to hear you and to see you for all that you really are, filled with grace and truth. And Lord, that we would not stiff arm you, but that we would receive you, that we would reach back to those arms that are reaching out to us in this eternal moment. So do that work in us. We pray that you've been
beginning that in 2022, but Lord, we realize that we are always works in progress that continue to need that work unfolding. And so continue to do that in us, even in 2023 and beyond. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. And his people said,